It's May 17th, 2016. You're moving at the speed of creativity with Wesley Fryer, narrowcasting from Chicago, Illinois. Well, hello, and welcome to a special podcast recording. Today, and actually this week, my wife and I are in Chicago as she is attending the National PBS, Public Broadcasting Station, annual conference for the entire nation. And tomorrow she's having the opportunity to present for 1,000 broadcasters from around the country about some of the ways that she integrates, PBS digital curriculum in her classroom and uses iPads. And I think really her story is about how important relationships and support for not only students, but families are. And we're excited about that. But today, before her, I guess, third rehearsal, she presented a session for the Global Maker Day conference, which is live online, still going on all day today. And it is utilizing Google Hangouts. And so I was her technical support, assisting her in doing the presentation actually here from our hotel room in Chicago. The description of her session was the following. Learn how our third and fourth grade students use their iPads and our Maker Studio to document their learning and share both inside and outside our classroom. See how apps for photo collages, green screen videos, making ebooks, coding apps, and Lego stop motion are essential digital tools in our classroom Maker Studio for creating and sharing. So we're hopeful that her session, which was, you know, synchronized to slides, she shared her Google slide presentation during the session, hopeful that all of that will be shared online as a video, but went ahead and recorded just an audio recording of the session using a little mobile audio recorder. So hopefully the quality of this will turn out okay, and you'll probably hear me in the background saying a few things on the side as we did some Q&A at the end. But if you'd like to take a look at this presentation, you can find it a couple ways. You can use a short link, bit.ly link, by going to bit.ly/MakerStudioiPads. Maker Studio iPads as a bit.ly link, or you can go to her website, which is classroom.shellyfryer.com, and over on the sidebar it says workshops, and you can click the link for iPads in Maker Studio. So without further ado, here is Shelly Fryer presenting today in the Global Maker Day conference on iPads in Maker Studio.
To talk to you today about iPads in the makerspace. So let me just get my screens going here. I'm coming to you live this morning from Chicago. I'm actually in Chicago doing some work with PBS at their annual meeting. So I'm in a hotel and pretty excited. My computer's going everywhere. All right, iPads in the Maker Studio. Welcome. I am a third and fourth grade teacher at a school in Oklahoma City. We are a K through five school. We are a small nonprofit private school, for homeless children. And so I am the third and fourth grader in that space. And we are one-to-one iPads. We have had iPads for the last 2 years. And this year we have been using our iPads a lot in the classroom. If you would like to connect with me, you can reach me at Twitter at sfryer and our classroom website, which is classroom.shellyfryer.com, or you can reach me at my school Twitter, which is at ptokc. So, iPads in the classroom. This is my makerspace. My school purchased a building next door, which was just the big blank space. So this year, we've been doing Maker Studio in our classroom for the last 2 years, and this year I kind of expanded into a empty room at the building next to us. We have a lot of materials. We have little bits. We have circuitry. We have our green screen, as you can see. We have electrical snap kits. So all of these things were usually stored in my classroom. We would get them out, we would use them, and then we'd have to quickly set them, you know, pack them all back up and store them again for the next day. So it's been really nice to spread into a space where we have plenty of room to work. And we can kind of leave that, those projects out, and then come back to it the next day. So this is my maker studio space. We still do a lot of making in the classroom. But this is the space where we can really get dirty and make a mess. These are some of the things that we really focus on in my maker studio. We focus on using the green screen. We are using an app called Doink, Lego Stop Motion. My students love Legos, and so we've spent some time with Lego Stop Motion app. We have been using Makey Makey and Circuit Kits. So doing some Scratch apps and learning to do those with the Makey Makey. And then Rube Goldberg. Rube Goldberg was one of the things I really wanted to get involved in this year and just really didn't get a chance to. So it's on my list of things to do for this summer, is really to build up our Rube Goldberg area in our maker space. So the kind of, you know, maker studio has been a journey for me. I started back into the classroom after being out for a long time 3 years ago, and that summer in Vermont, we attended, my husband and I attended a workshop called Create, Make, and Learn. It was a summer institute, and in that it was held in like a maker studio, community maker studio space. And they were using laser cutters and Arduinos, and then they set up a lot of electricity things, and that's kind of where I got started with the electricity activities that I'm doing now. But it was really inspiring to see teachers and then to have times to make and create ourselves and the energy. Also just really digging in deep to the STEM resources, making and creating, and I think the presenter before me talked about STEAM as well. So just combining all of those things. Also that year, that summer, we attended a Makers Fair in Kansas City, where we just got to see all kinds of projects from kids as well as adults who were making and creating, and just the intensity that that brought in, and the interest and the engagement that that was. And so I knew that making and creating in my classroom was really something that I wanted to dive into. You know, because we are a one-to-one iPad school, I wanted to use those iPads to make and create and not just to consume information. And so I started really investigating apps, mainly that were free, because we didn't have a big budget for buying apps. And so just really finding those apps which would align with some of the things that we were doing and learning in the classroom. So we use the iPads in my classroom to make and our thinking visible, really to document our learning, to show and share what we know. We use it to research, using some various apps, different projects that we want to get involved with. So we're using it to research. Also to design and invent. Sorry, some audio stuff going on here. But mainly just to have fun, learning and diving in deep with some of our subjects. All right, one of the things that we really want to do, and that I'm kind of developing this thought and idea of, is inside and outside sharing. So really, what information do we want to share inside the classroom, and then what things do we want to share outside of our classroom? I really think sharing is important, because students spend a lot of time creating and making things, and they want to show it to somebody. They want somebody to see their hard work. They want to share, kind of like show and tell time was when students were younger. And so they want to show people what they're doing, and they want to share that with their classmates. So I've spent some time seeking out some apps that allow us to share inside the classroom, but also I really think it's important for teachers to begin sharing outside the classroom, to show our community and to show our parents some of the deep learning that's happening inside the classroom, because, you know, it's not always in that take-home papers that you staple together and send home in their work folder that shows the deepest learning. And so I needed to find ways to show what we know and to share that knowledge with others. Outside sharing is so important. We're using an app called Seesaw as our digital portfolio, and I'll talk to you more about that later. But Seesaw has allowed me to share outside of our classroom just some of the things that we're doing. My students, we are very fortunate that we get to take a lot of field trips, and we do a lot of what we call classroom community building. And one of the things we did earlier this year is go on a fishing trip. And so I was able with my phone to take a picture and then put that in Carter's digital portfolio. And before the field trip was even over, his mother had already responded back. You know, his dream has always been to go fishing, and she was so happy that he had an opportunity to do that. And just that little bit of sharing outside of the classroom was invaluable for building a bridge with that parent, especially a parent that, and I would say most of my parents, do not have iPhones. And it is difficult sometimes to connect with them. My students come from deep poverty, however, this parent did. And you know, it is huge for me to be able to share with her and to build that bridge with her student in mind. Okay, so some of the iPad apps that we're using in our Maker Studio. One of your most valuable apps that you have comes with the iPad, and it's the camera roll. The camera roll is just a part of, it's the first thing that we learn how to use. We take pictures to document our learning all the time. And the workflow that I'm developing in the classroom is that we save everything to the camera roll. From there, we can choose where else we want to share it. But everything that the students do and document starts with their camera roll. And so these are just a picture of some of the things that are going on in our classroom, because we never know if we want to use these or how we want to use these. And so we take a lot of pictures and we use that camera roll first. One of the neatest apps that I have found my students absolutely love is PicCollage for Kids. PicCollage is made specifically for kids. And we use the pictures from our camera roll to take in and to make collages of our learning. It has a search engine within the app that allows them to surf and the web for other images that they might want to use in projects. But mainly we're using it to document that learning that is taking place. These are a couple collages that my students have created. One of them is when we first started working in our Maker Studio. So they were taking pictures of their electrical circuits that they had created, you know, working with the projects with the little bits. You know, in a normal classroom setting, without that camera and without that picture, that would be cleaned up at the end of the day, and we would have really no way of documenting what they were doing. But by taking pictures of these projects and then going back and reflecting on them later, we're able to share what was going on. Also, my students, like I said, adore and love building with Legos. We do a lot of Lego design challenges. And so they're working in groups. I took some of these pictures, and some of them they take their own pictures of their own creations. But we put those into and share those pictures so that they can show what they're doing. They can talk about working with that group, and then we can get pictures of the actual challenges and the results of those challenges. And I think that's really important, especially when we're making and creating, and it's not necessarily something that they're going to be able to keep and take home with them. So here's Seesaw. I started using it again like 2 years ago, and really last year I started using it just for my own benefit. It's really simple to set up your classroom. I have like an older version, a beginning version, where it had these cute little icons that the students use, and I think for older students now they use just the initials. But I've set up different folders, a math folder, a reading folder, a Maker Studio folder, and so we're able to kind of designate where those things go. The students know how to add to their own digital portfolio. In the settings app, there are different ways that you can set up the classroom. I have invited all of my students' mentors and their parents to join their students' portfolio so they can see their students work and respond back to that. It allows them to make comments, but you can also turn those comments off. You also need to know that the teachers moderate all comments, so whatever goes into the portfolio is moderated by the teacher. Whatever comments come into the students is moderated by the teacher. So the students, the teacher has to approve all things going inside and outside of those portfolios. It gives the students autonomy this year to add things to their own portfolios. Here's an example of one of my students, and he was creating a wrap for our volunteer luncheon. And so it's kind of interesting. This was, he had outlined all of these concepts that he wanted to talk about in his wrap. And we have a good friend of mine named Carl Hooker, who we ended up Skyping with. And Carl's kind of an entertainer, and he had connected with Landon on an earlier trip to Oklahoma City. So we got on Skype and shared this Google Doc, and Carl helped Landon kind of refine his rap. And then Landon, we printed it out, and Landon took a picture of it, and then he was singing his rap there. So, but it's in his portfolio for him to get to at any time. So not only is it documenting his learning, but it also gives him availability to that project. We did some fancy app smashing with this. Carl had suggested this auto wrap app. So we took that wrap that Landon had created, and we put it, he sang it into this app, which was free. It had a couple free versions, and then recorded that. And then it was that recording that was presented at the volunteer luncheon, and Landon and his friend could just actually lip sync over it, but it gave them the confidence they needed. But Seesaw became the holding place for that information. And as we go, I'll talk more about how we use Seesaw. This is another way, my students did a passion project this year, and I had a student that was really diving in deep with a music app, GarageBand, that he was using, and so we were able to take a recording of this and then share that into our Seesaw as well. Seesaw works well with links, with audio, with pictures. You're able to save a lot of different things in that. And it gives you the date, and you can see it by calendar view. It even has a blogging feature within it if you want to really work more on that outside sharing. But, I mean, I think you can see, you know, students are able to see each other's work. They're able to give it hearts. They're able to comment on it. Comments, remember, are all approved by the teacher. But it's just a really important environment and a place for them to share their learning with their classmates inside the classroom. And this is another way that we're using Seesaw. My classroom has a radio show, a classroom podcast that we do. And so I have my students listening to a lot of different podcasts and radio shows. And this was a podcast we were listening to about the International Space Station. And so within Seesaw, it has a drawing feature. And so the students were drawing and using some visual art to document their learning from what they were learning from the ISS. And then later they could go back in and give that a title. It also has an audio feature, so students can play that and play back and list the things that they were learning. So I get a really good, it's kind of a really enriched assessment for me to use that in a really educational way. And so also the neat feature with Seesaw is that I can print this out. So I can print this picture out. It comes with a little QR code in the corner. And so I hang that up in the classroom. And when we have visitors or people wandering inside and outside the classroom, they can QR code that and then be able to hear Carter share about his knowledge and the things that he's learned about the International Space Station. So it's a really neat way for us to share with each other, to have a place to store the information that we're doing, to build on classroom community. I'm really impressed with this Seesaw app, and I find ways to use it all the time. here's another presentation tool that we use where we take those pictures that we have stored in our camera roll. I had mentioned earlier that my students have recently finished up their passion projects. We worked for about a month where students could dive in deep. I had students learning how to play the guitar, how to do ballet, how to code, how to make things out of toilet paper rolls. And all along the way, they were documenting their learning using their camera app. And so at the end, they had an assignment where they had to pick one of our apps and find a way to present that information of what they had learned to the classroom. And so a lot of them, several of them, chose Shadow Puppet, which was actually created by the same people that created Seesaw. I think they created this Shadow Puppet first. And it's just a really easy, free presentation tool for students to, they add their photos into it and then they can go through their photos and they can record, and talk about what they have learned. They can add some, you know, stars and pointers and describe that learning. I usually have my students take about 5 pictures and share that as kind of a 5, photo, story. To share their learning. So Shadow Puppet's a really neat presentation tool. Here's an example of Anastasia's project. She was creating toilet paper roll projects. She created an iPhone holder for me, and then she narrated it. All these links, if you'll go to these links, are live, and so later you can go back in and actually see Anastasia's project using Shadow Puppet. All right, we talked about doing research for all of these different projects that we're doing in the classroom, and this is YouTube for kids. I think we all know that students love YouTube and they love watching, but I think we also know that there is a lot of things that can distract our students and maybe a lot of things that we don't necessarily want them to see. So we have really enjoyed using YouTube for kids. And like I said earlier, I am finding ways that we can use these apps for the learning process to make and create and not just to consume information. But we use YouTube for kids as a lot of our research information gathering, as well as our classroom webpage where I will go out and find links of specific places that I want them to go. But this is the app that we use a lot. I had a student that was really into Minecraft and he had played Minecraft a lot, but he wanted to learn more about Redstone and more about creating his own skins and skin decks. So for his passion project, he spent time researching all of these different techniques that he wanted to learn about Minecraft. And so that was a really interesting thing. A lot of my students love to draw. And so during their passion projects, and I'm using passion projects as really like our maker studio time. Passion projects is just a really more specific individual thing that they have chosen to do during maker studio time. So I'm kind of using those two terms interchangeably. I'm really talking about the same time and the same model. But I had a lot of students that really wanted to learn to draw, and there are some fabulous drawing tutorials on YouTube. And so they were able to learn how to draw anime and learn how to draw their favorite characters. A lot of them were into drawing superheroes. And so they were using YouTube for kids and then building their own drawing portfolios. Coding, I think, you know, everybody knows and is inundated right now with the need for getting our kids to code. And so we have probably 4 or 5 coding apps that my students play around with. And a lot of times some of this is just a big sandbox where students have done just a lot of experimenting. But the Foos is one app. It's put out by CodeSpark. They're the same people that, you know, sponsor the coding challenges and the 1 Great Hour of Code. So the Foos is, it's engaging, it's fun, it's problem solving, it easily gets them to creating their own games. I have one student, Kenneth, who is a big gamer and he just was really drawn to the Foos. It puts them through a series of tutorials, but it's, you know, it's constantly updated with new challenges and new things for them to learn. And I always tell my kids, look, I am not an expert in coding. you guys have to be the experts. You guys have to learn how to do this. And so they spend a lot of time becoming the experts in this. This is a video that Kenneth created. It's on our YouTube channel, which you can get to through our classroom webpage. And it's actually one of my, the most viewed videos on our YouTube channel, but it's Kenneth describing the game that he has created in the Foos, while he's playing and creating the game. Outstanding. You know, Kenneth is the expert on the Foos. And so when kids are in that app, then, they are able to go to Kenneth to get help. And I think that's really important to remember, as teachers, is that we do not have to be the expert on all of these things. But what our job is to create an environment that's open for learning and then give the kids the ability to become the experts and then to learn from each other. And so we do a lot of coding together as a classroom in some very specific ways, but these apps, some of these allow them that exploration to really get in and dive a little deeper with that. Another app is Scratch Junior, put out by MIT Learning Labs. And so this is awesome. It's a block-based coding. It is the junior version, but you know, I'm using it with my third and fourth graders and they're, consumed with it. We have spent a lot of time in the sandbox of playing. And so a lot of my students had opportunities just to explore and play with Scratch Junior. A few months ago, I wanted to get into some more specific coding, challenges. And so again, I am not the master coder. I am not the expert on coding. So what I did as a teacher is I went out and searched for some short video tutorials, usually done by other teachers on specific things that I wanted them to learn. And so I went out and I found these short videos, which we would watch together and pause and build and watch and pause and build and create the code, whether it was one of the first things we did, we were studying fractions at the time and we created a fraction game. And then I would take that video and I would flip it into their Seesaw as a link. So then after we had done it as a class, then they could go back and watch that video again and begin to build their own project. So we built that together. I think the thing that I've learned most with, especially when I'm doing specific things with the apps that I want the kids to do specifically, is to break it down into smaller pieces and stretch it out over a longer period of time. I think too often as teachers, we see this big project and we kind of rush that process. It's the process of learning that is so important, but Scratch Junior's been awesome. Also, which is really exciting because I am here with PBS, is that PBS has a Scratch Junior app. And so after working with the Scratch Junior app, we jumped in and started using the Scratch Junior PBS app where they were able to take characters from their favorite PBS shows like Wild Kratts or Nature Cat or Word Girl, and then they began creating games and stories based on their favorite characters, and that was really challenging and fun for the students. But we had already been through a series of problem solving tutorials and videos with that. This is a fun one. Green Screen by Do Ink. I cannot tell you how much fun we have had with that. In one of those first initial pictures of our Maker Studio, you saw our ginormous green screen. And if you're interested in actually getting the full kit, it came with the lights, it came with that green screen, and those resources are on our classroom webpage, classroom.shellyfryer.com. You don't have to have a fancy kit. You know, you can kick it old school and go get the dollar store green tablecloth or shower curtain. Yeah. And so you could do that, but we have a lot of fun with that cat or the kit. So we hung it in our Maker Studio space and it was really valuable because the kids were making and creating and then they would go over to the green screen and they would sit in front of it and they would tell about what they had created. Or in one case, I had a group of students that were going around and interviewing their classmates on what they were creating. And then they would go back, they would take their pictures, and so they would throw the still pictures. So the Do Ink app is really friendly. It is not a free app. It is a charge, but it's a small one. I think it's $2.99. So it's very forgiving. It's very simple. It's very intuitive. You can add video into it. You can add still pictures into it. You can move things around. You can maximize. You can minimize. It has a chroma key, so you can kind of make some simple adjustments. But so we use it to document our learning in the Maker Studio. I've seen teachers, highlighting vocabulary with that. We use it to build thank you cards. My students love Star Wars, and so one day we had all the Star Wars visitor people come and in their, Star Wars costumes, and so we took a big picture and made a big thank you card. So just a lot of neat ways to use green screen. Here is one way that we used it and we were studying Martin Luther King and his speech, and we had written our I Have a Dream speeches. And so it's about the time that we had gotten the green screen. And so thanks to some of the PBS resources, we had gone on this virtual field trip of the Lincoln Memorial. So we went in and we took a picture of the Lincoln Memorial, and then we threw it in the background of the with the green screen, and then the students were able to stand at the podium and give their speeches, their I Have a Dream speeches right there. And so what an amazing way to take the things that we're doing in our classroom and to make and create and then, share that. All of those, there's a shortened link when several of the projects kind of smash together, but then also on our YouTube channel, you can see some of the full projects there where they're sharing their dreams for themselves and their families and their futures. And just one of the ways we're using that in a Maker's Way. I guess there's one of the links. I think this is the shortened link. So if you get these slides, you can go to that link and see that project. Whoa, hovercraft. Okay, so it's late in the year. My students are spending a lot of time making and creating. I usually save this hovercraft for the very end of the year because it's one of those things that the kids get so consumed with. Hovercraft is an app. And it allows for them to create their own vehicles in a 3D digital design space. So they're moving it all around, and they have to add thrusters, and they have to have balance. It's really great for the engineering design process because they have to create something, and then they test it, and they race it. My students get pretty excited. These are some of the vehicles that they're creating and saving and racing each other. They love to see their work up on the smart board, and so at any given time when they're doing hovercraft on the smart board, I can see up to 9 students building, making, and creating and racing each other. When something crashes and they want to go back in and change it and reiterate it, but I warn you, this is one of those things that students need a lot of time to explore because they don't want to get off of this app once they get on. That's kind of the ways that I kind of save it till the end. It's a pretty consuming app. But, man, I mean, a great way for them to explore that 3D digital design space. Anyway, we talked a little bit earlier about GarageBand. This is not something that I usually do with the whole class. It's always available to the students who are really interested in that. But for his passion project, I had one student that was really interested in drumming, and so he was creating his own percussion and drumming tracks in that. There wasn't a way to save that audio file into our camera roll, so we had to do a little app smashing with this one, so in order for him to be able to share that out with a picture. And so we used a free app called Voice Record Pro. It's pretty powerful for a free app, and I turn off a lot of things, but it allowed us to take his audio, put it into Voice Record Pro, and then be able to add a picture onto that so that he could share it. So here it is. Here is Lucas, and he has created something in GarageBand, and he can listen to that, and then I can put it in his portfolio. Again, this portfolio in Seesaw becomes the place where students curate all of the things that they're making and creating. And then later, if we need to go back and share that out, whether in a kid blog or out in another format, this is kind of our holding place for that. iMovie is another, I don't necessarily do this with the whole class, but it is available to all of the students. I have a student for her passion project. She spent a month learning about photography, so she had collected just a huge amount of photos. We spent some time with Parks and Focus. It's a nonprofit that gets students out into our local parks and teaches them photography skills. We had been studying about Oklahoma history, and so we had been on several field trips, and she was taking a lot of pictures to highlight her Oklahoma history. She was learning about macro photography, micro photography, perspective, just really diving deep with her mentor. She and her mentor would go around our school and take pictures. We were learning geometry, parallel lines and things, so she was pulling in a lot of geometry with that. And so, you know, iMovie trailers is a perfect place if you have a lot of pictures. She didn't do any movies, but I sat down with her in kind of a one-on-one situation and showed her how easy it was to add in her pictures, talking about landscapes and group shots and close-up shots. So again, she was learning a lot of photography language with that. And so she was able to easily add her pictures in, and I showed her how to change the words so that it highlighted what she was learning about photography, what she had learned about Oklahoma. So iMovie trailer, and this is it. It is on our classroom YouTube channel if you want to go in and watch that. Absolutely fabulous work. She did have some one-on-one tutorials with me, but it's easy enough for her once I kind of showed her the workflow in that. And definitely a great way to showcase her learning. Lego Movie Maker. This is another one of those apps my kids were just fascinated with. And so we spent a lot of time in our maker's time building and making with Legos. You know, just spilling all the Legos on the floor, doing design challenges, making houses, making vehicles, making cars. My kids just spend a lot of time with Legos. And then we introduced the Lego Movie Maker, and they spent a lot of time just kind of playing around with it. I encourage with all of these apps to give your students a lot of time just to be in the sandbox and make and create on their own before you try to make it a classroom lesson. Again, I am not an expert on stop-motion movie making, and so what I did at that point as the teacher to set up that environment was to go on YouTube myself and find other people that were, other teachers that had developed stop motion challenges. And so I found a couple, and we kind of started with learning how to make a vehicle move across the game board or the play space. And then we learned on how to make people and little minifigures move. And then we learned some special effect techniques. So we took these all in bits and pieces throughout a few days in our maker studio. I would take those same videos. I usually limit it to about 1.5 to 3 minutes and flip them into their seesaw so that they could always go back and refer to them. And create some Lego movies. I have one student that really got into this, and this is one of the vehicles that he had created, and you can go back and watch his stop motion movie. A lot of these, they don't have audio. Since we had been using green screen, some of them were even challenged with that blue board in the back. You don't have to, you can change it to blue as well. And so they were, some of them were going back in and actually adding background pictures to some of their Lego movies. All right. Opinion app. This is an app that I don't have on my student iPads, but I actually have on my phone. But we use this to create our classroom radio show, and we started first thing. This has been one of the most powerful apps that we do together as a class to build classroom community. We usually do it at the end of the day. We're in our closing meeting, we're kind of tying up our day. We do so many fabulous and fun things. We have great classroom visitors. And so it's really good to have a way to reflect on our learning. And then it's been great for fluency skills. Students have had to learn to speak and complete sentences. They've been able to, they have to plan. They do the lead-ins for the show. We have a script that they follow. But it's a really neat app that I do right on my iPhone. And we have my iPhone. We create it in there. I've shown the kids how we can go back in and easily edit those. This is us in a closing meeting. Anastasia over here has written the script, so it has kind of the, today is March the 7th, and in room 108, you know, our question for the day was, and then students each develop their response to that. So the responses aren't scripted, but the question of the day is, and we all have the opportunity, you know, my name is Antonia, and today I learned in Oklahoma history that the Oklahoma state flower is the Indian blanket. You know, so we're reflecting back. They're developing fluency skills. They always have the opportunity to pass if they need to. They know that if they mess up, it's not a problem. They know that we can go back in and edit that. So it's just been something. It's been a great way for us to not only share out our learning with a larger community, because I usually always tweet those out. But it's also a way for us just to reflect. And sometimes we even go back and we listen to the old ones when we miss our friends, because you get to hear your friends that aren't with us anymore. And that's just a neat way to continue to have that classroom, community, book creator. Not only did we do passion projects this year, but I always do a big Black History project where we're using, like I said, YouTube Kids, to do research. Now that's not the only resource that we use, but it is one, because in their research, they had to have a video element. They also had to have a web page element, and they also had to have a book that they were using to collect, information for their Black History projects. So we use Book Creator a lot to document our learning. So specifically on our Black History projects, if you'll go into our classroom YouTube channel, you can see those. The neat thing about Book Creator is it allows you to save to your camera roll. And so when you save that to your camera roll, and then it is exports as a video. And so then I take those videos and I'm able to share them out on our classroom YouTube channel. But also they can save that into iBooks. So that is an enhanced ebook. So with that, they, see if I have an example of one. Yeah. Here is a, example of Anastasia's project on astronaut Mae Jemison. And so we were using different apps to collect pictures that are something I didn't put in here, but a webpage that we use is called Photos for Class, to get pictures that are already safe to use. They have attribution built in, and so my students know how to go out and search for attribution pictures. So we're trying to teach them, you know, responsible sharing on that. But with the Book Creator, they're able to create books, to add pictures, to create their own text. They learn about giving it a title and giving it a name. They can add audio to each one of those, so they read in their student voice. This was huge when I did my parent-teacher conferences. I was able to show in their Seesaw portfolio examples of their students' voice learning about Mae Jemison or Ralph Ellison, or we were trying to pick inspiration, Benjamin Banneker, who was one of the first scientists. So really a neat way to share, and it becomes a video, so it's really neat to share out. But to have those books and those book collections inside their portfolio, so they can go back and read each other's books as well. All right, so I have a Maker's Challenge for you. Your Maker's Challenge from this workshop is to go into your classroom and find out ways that students are making and creating. You know, that might be with just your blocks and your Legos. It doesn't have to be with an app. I mean, it could be with an app. So I just challenge you to take some pictures of your students learning, of your students making, save that into the camera roll, and then make a photo collage of that learning. And then share that out to Twitter with the hashtag Global Makers Day. It can be in any form that you have. So I really challenge you to get into your classroom. You're already makers. Teachers are natural makers. Students are natural makers. And so what you need to do is just go in and document that and then share that out, because we want to see, just by a simple picture tells a story of what's going on in a classroom. So it's team building, it's activity. And so we have, we have about 10 minutes. I was faster this time than I've practiced before. So if anybody has any questions, that they'd like to ask.
Will you share the link to your presentation?
Yes, I will definitely share out the link to that presentation.
It's on your classroom website.
It's on my classroom webpage, or my website. If you want to go to classroom.shellyfryer.com. So that link will be on my classroom webpage. I also have a blog, which is shellyfryer.com. And so I've blogged about, you know, just creating this presentation and included a link on that as well. So those are two neat places. And you can see all of those on our, on our webpage is a link to our opinion, our radio show that we've done. And so you can see, I think we have maybe 35 episodes of our radio show that you can go back in and listen to. Yeah. So there's my Twitter link, and there's a QR code that'll take you directly to my webpage or this presentation, where all of those links you can go at and see.
Can you talk a little bit more about what you recommend for summer professional development?
Ooh, summer professional development. Well, if you're in the Oklahoma area, there's definitely an iPad media camp that I would suggest. It's actually done by my husband, Wes Fryer, which is an outstanding resource. Is a good one. Also, we're doing a STEM camp on June 6th through the 9th in the Oklahoma City area. It's called Mission to Mars STEM Camp. And so we're going to be spending 4 days going into a lot of the types of things that we were discussing now. There'll be Lego stop motion, Mars, creating Mars rovers and green screen. And so we'll go through a lot of these different makers projects that have that focus. And there's always resources that it will come from that. Yay, here I am. So that's a great summer thing. Let's see. Make, Create, and Learn in Vermont. Does she still have that?
First of August, yeah.
It's usually in the 1st of August in Vermont. So that, I highly recommend that. So there's so much. Lucy, and I never can get her last name right.
Tech Savvy Girl on Twitter.
Is the way to find her. Again, that's Tech Savvy Girl on Twitter. And Lucy does that Make, Create, and Learn. That's a fabulous one. You know, I mean, in this day and age of PD, there's also, I don't know, this one is an awesome resource for professional development that you're doing right now. And I'm looking forward to going back and actually watching some of the recordings from the Globers Makers Day professional development. And that's been really awesome as well. So just take a look in your communities. Any others that you can think of?
What about your students collaborating? What tips do you have for just kids working together in
groups? Working together and collaborating groups that's a very important question, especially when, and you know, I teach at a school for homeless children, and working together and collaborating doesn't usually come naturally to them.
We've lost our audio, so we're muted.
Oops.
Oh, geez. All right.
Okay, we're back. Okay, so the question was, would I talk more about getting students to collaborate and work together in projects in the classroom? I think that's a really valuable question. I teach at a school for homeless children, and that doesn't necessarily come naturally to them. So I've covered a lot of iPad apps, but I don't necessarily start at the beginning of the year with all of the iPad apps. In our Maker Studio time, which we usually have about 3 times a week, it's in the afternoon. It's usually from 1 to 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And so for about the first 6 weeks, we're just making and creating with the things that we have in the classroom. So we have blocks, and we have Legos, and we have different building things, cubelets and Kinects and Zoobs. And I mean, I have a whole list of just, you know, I guess manipulatives, you know, that teachers have in the classroom. And so we spend time working in groups of two and three, building and making, talking about positive language. How do you work together? How do you give compliments? And then we shift and work in different groups. So community building definitely is a major part of my classroom. You know, we start in morning meeting. So I feel like I'm teaching kids to work in groups and cooperatively, throughout the whole year. I don't know if it has to do with Maker Studio, but one of the huge things that I did in my classroom this year is ditch the desks. So I actually got rid of all student desks in my classroom, and I created learning spaces for them. So we have like a kitchen table, and we have a coffee table, and we have places where the students can sit in high bar seating, or they can, so, you know, building classroom community is important all the time, and it's mostly important too when we're beginning to build. So that's just a process that we do all year long. And eventually, when we are using our apps and using the, then they already have that culture of working together and cooperating built into their everyday life. And so it's not as an important thing when we're actually doing it in the Maker Studio. So I would just say it's something we work on from day one, is, you know, building community within our classroom.
What do you think about sharing iPads versus students having their own?
You know, I had this discussion with my husband earlier today.
All
right. So the question is, what do I think about sharing iPads? Yes, we are a one-to-one iPad school, but I was just discussing with my husband earlier today. I could do this with one. I could do this with my teacher iPad. Oops.
It's okay.
Is that it? Or I could do it with three or five. I think it's great for students to share, especially if you have like a digital portfolio like Seesaw. Seesaw makes it really easy to be able to share and store. And then I haven't even looked at the new Apple sharing and the way that they're building that into the classroom. And so definitely I think shared iPads would definitely work with any of these things. Hey, you have a camera roll, right? So you can save a lot of pictures to the camera roll.
All right, you want to kind of summarize and wrap up?
All right, so don't forget your design challenges. Don't forget the teacher is not the expert. You are the person that sets up the learning environment for your classroom. Let your kids be the experts. Let them dive in deep and let them teach each other. You don't have to know how to do all of these things in order to make it work in your classroom. So I challenge you to don't be afraid to make and create, and your kids will love it, and you will definitely see the value in that opportunity to design and make. Thank you very much. Yay!
Moving at the Speed of Creativity podcast are independently produced by Wesley Fryer and are licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Only license. Learn more at www.speedofcreativity.org. Moving at the Speed of Creativity podcast are independently produced by Wesley Fryer and are licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Only license. Learn more at www.speedofcreativity.org.